Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Fourth week in the anatomy of a breakthrough. Just raise your hand and wave at me if you need a breakthrough today. God's got your breakthrough, and we're going to dive into the ingredients, and we're going to jump into Luke in just a moment, Luke chapter 8. And we're going to share and jump in the story of Jairus and his daughter. But before we get there, let's go to our theme and base scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. The King James Version reads it like this: "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape," meaning when the temptation shows up, there's already a way to escape. And when we hear that word way, remember, the way is not direction. It's not an opening. Jesus said, "I am the way." So when temptation shows up, it is, 100% guaranteed Jesus steps in right with the temptation that you may be able to bear it. And the Passion Translation reads the same verse like this: "We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more." Let me say that again. Each test is an opportunity to trust Jesus more. "For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously." As I said, this is the fourth in the series, The Anatomy of a Breakthrough. The Anatomy of a Breakthrough. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, this is your day for a breakthrough. You may be seated. In the last few weeks, we've talked about the three postures of a believer are that I'm getting ready to break through, I'm breaking through, or I'm praising God that I just broke through. Those are the only places that we should be: getting ready to break through, actively breaking through a stronghold or something that has stood between us and God's promise, or praising God that I broke through. And really, you should be praising God simultaneously while you prep to break through or while you're breaking through. We've talked about that it's not called a step through, it's called a breakthrough, meaning you are going to have to fight. That breakthroughs are not for the weak of heart or the weak of faith, because there are going to come times where you're going to have to keep moving even with tears in your eyes. That you're going to have to keep fighting even when weakness seems to be overtaking your body and that you've lost your strength. That you are going to have to fight for your breakthrough. The last 2 weeks we've talked about the 10 main ingredients for a breakthrough, that these have to be involved, and if they're not present, then you might not need a breakthrough. You might just need a good day. Come on now. A lot of times we put a lot of pressure on God to do things that we can do. And there's a lot of things that you're praying about. And I love what Bishop Phillips said. There's four answers to every prayer. One of these answers will be given every time you pray: yes, no, wait, or get up and do it yourself. There's a lot of things that we pray for, church, that we are asking God to do what he has already given us the power to do. But these 10 things are going to be present every time that a breakthrough is imminent. Number one, impossibility. That there has to be something that you and I cannot do, because where impossibility is where Jesus does his best work and where Jesus steps in. He said, "With man, that is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Number two, the feeling of quit. It's all right to want to quit as long as you don't quit. Come on, that spouse you're sitting next to, if you only knew how many times they had packed their bags just to unpack them. Oh, somebody said preach. I think I will. If you knew how many times that they were through with that marriage here, but they never let it come here, or they never let it... There's a lot of times where you want to go ahead and quit that job, but like I said, go home, get you a good dinner, get a good night's rest, and tomorrow it's not going to seem near as bad as you thought it was. that feeling of quit will be present. Number three, the waiting season. Sometimes things aren't immediate, and the Bible says that we have to endure. Come on, endure through the end. That there's a lot of times that if we do not faint, the Bible says, we will reap. Number four, an antagonist, a doubter, a hater, the negative people, Satan himself. There has to be somebody that is fighting against you receiving your breakthrough. If there's an antagonist, there has to be a protagonist. That will always be Jesus. Jesus will always show up on the scene of your breakthrough. Number six, last week we covered the word. You have to know the word for yourself. You have to not only be able to quote the word for yourself, you have to be able to point back to times that the word has worked for you. Not that the word has worked for Pastor so-and-so or Bishop so-and-so, but you're standing on a word that has been proven. David said, I cannot wear your armor, Saul, because I have not proved it. But what he was really saying is you haven't proven your armor either, otherwise you'd be fighting Goliath. Number seven, you need faith. Not church faith, not Sunday morning, 11 o'clock faith, but Monday morning when all hell is breaking loose faith. Tuesday afternoon when you get bad news faith. Wednesday morning when you're sitting in the doctor's office and it's just you and the doctor and he's giving you bad news. Thursday afternoon when you get a call from the principal at your kid's school about their Zoom lesson that day and crazy things that they're doing. I saw a good one this week. One of the teachers in their Zoom class, their virtual class, said, sir, you need to sit down and you need to be quiet. And the kid said, no, teacher, you need to be quiet. This is my house. A lot of guts when you're 10 miles away from the teacher. Number eight, you need the Holy Ghost. Man, last night, every time somebody gets filled with the Holy Ghost, it refills me with the Holy Ghost. I went home thinking last night, wow, what a difference. If anything, listen, that altar was full last night, but if the only thing that happened all day yesterday was that young man being filled with the Holy Ghost, that's all that needs to happen for the rest of the month, because if you get one person filled with the Holy Ghost, you get somebody that it doesn't matter what is staring them in the eye, they will always have the power inside of them to break through. Can all the Holy Ghost-filled people just lift your hand in the air and wave it? If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, can we just unleash that language just for about 10 seconds? That's the evidence. Come on. That's the evidence that I've got the power of God. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. Praise God. I'm at the right church this morning. Number nine, you've got to have the want to. Your mama can't want it for you. Your generation can't want it for you. I have found in my 38 years that you can only help people that want to be helped. You can only help people that want to change and that want. And I've seen Bishop literally take people from out from under the bridges of San Antonio, give them a place to stay, give them a job, make sure that they had eating money and spending money, only for those same people 6 months later to walk away from all of that to go back to the bridge life. A lot of the people out there living under the bridges are there because they want to live there. Not all of them. But there's a lot of them. You know, there's a lot of panhandlers that make more tomorrow than you'll make all week. They park their Escalade. Come on, you've seen those stories. And they've walked around the corner with their cardboard sign, and they'll make $300, $400, $500 tomorrow begging. You've got to have the want to change your situation. We can't change it for you until you have that want to break through. And number 10, momentum. You have to have momentum. Momentum is built up of a collection of moments. Never underestimate the power of a moment. Never underestimate the power of one good thing happening, even as small or minute as it seems. You use those as building blocks, and you put one great moment with another great moment with another great minute. And sooner or later, you're going to look up, and you're going to have all the momentum in the world to break through what is in front of you. Luke chapter 8, verse 40, the NIV reads it like this. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. The King James Version, I believe, says they were all waiting on him. I like the NIV because that word wait doesn't mean that they were thumping their Timex watch wondering when Jesus was going to show up. there was an anxious expectation. When is Jesus, when is this man of Nazareth going to show back up? There was an expectation. Why were they concerned with him showing up? Because they had heard what he had been doing in other parts of the country and were ready for him to come on the scene of their life, because there were some men and women who were tired of being tired and sick of being sick, and they wanted a breakthrough. They had tried other things that had not worked. They had been to a dead synagogue and a dead temple, but here this man named Jesus, who has been going around the countryside healing and delivering and doing all of these things, is about to show up. There was an expectation for a breakthrough. There was an expectation, not because of what Jesus was going to do, but because of what Jesus had done. In this very same chapter, before verse 40, there's a lot of things that Jesus did. It's like the entire ministry of Jesus in a nutshell, because he had spent time teaching on the four types of ground and seed and the rocky soil and the wayside and the good soil. He had spent time talking and teaching about the lamp and the lampstand and about how we are the light of the world and that we should not hide what God had done in our lives. He had calmed a storm. That's the storm where he was asleep in the back of the boat, and the disciples came and woke him up and said, "Jesus, do you not care that we perish?" And he got up and peace be still, and the hurricane subsided. And they said, "What manner of man is this that the waves and the wind believe and bow down to him?" And then right before this, he had healed the man that was possessed with thousands of spirits named Legion. All of this has brought us to Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And so every time Jesus did something, it inspired faith in the people that he was headed to next. Can I encourage you? And I love the dispensation that we're living in, because Jesus doesn't hold a physical body anymore, but Jesus is, amen, the Holy Spirit has been given to us, meaning this, that you and I can always be next for our breakthrough, that we're not waiting for Jesus to bring his campaign or his camp meetings through San Antonio or South Texas, but at any moment, Sunday or not, anytime that we want Jesus to show up, we can call on the name. He is inclined to hear our cry, as David said, and he will show up. Can I encourage you, church, as great as I love Living Way, you are one hallelujah from Jesus showing up at your house, showing up at your job, showing up in the courtroom, showing up at the doctor's office. All you've got to do is call out to him, and boom, he shows up. And when he shows up with everything that you need. He brings all of heaven with him. He brings all of the angels with him. And he is ready to work if you'll allow him to. That's what we call breakthrough. Revelation 12, 11 says this, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." We are made overcomers, church, by the blood of the Lamb. That's by what he did. And the word of our testimony is what we are called to do. Our testimony is what God has brought us through, what God has brought us from. Come on, some of you been so saved so long that you forgot what it was like to have a $10 a day habit that you had to run to the street corner every 12 hours to get your fix. Some of you forgot what it was like to work an 8 or 9 hour job just to go down to the local bar for happy hour and destroy your marriage by what you were pouring down your throat. Some of you forgot what it was like to live a life where you were always looking to people for fulfillment and love and satisfaction. Some of us have forgot where God has brought us from. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When you say so, what you're saying is I've been redeemed. Well, what you've been redeemed from? I've been redeemed from lust. I've been redeemed from sin. I've been redeemed from separation from Christ. I've been redeemed from this. What are we talking about? Let me tell you about everything that God has brought me from. That's my testimony. And when I take my testimony and I combine it with his blood, what he did and what I say makes me an overcomer and brings breakthrough to my life. Said all that to say this. The entire city is expecting a miracle and a breakthrough, all because of what Jesus has done. Check this out, though. They didn't have social media. If they had social media, Jesus would have more followers than anybody else. They didn't have phones. No one was texting saying, guess what Jesus did out here in the middle of the Sea of Galilee? They had none of that. Meaning this, that the only way that the city that Jesus was coming to knew what Jesus had done, not that they were there, because if they were there, they would have already received it. But someone that had been touched started talking about being touched. Somebody that had been healed started talking at the water cooler on Monday. Let me tell you about what Jesus did in my body. Somebody who Jesus literally transformed their life on listen, they were on the phone, they were talking to people, they're down at the cafeteria, and they're saying, there's this man named Jesus. I hear he's supposed to be here next week. Let me tell you about what he did 3 months ago. And the word of mouth. Everything that we do at Living Way, and a lot of that has slowed because of COVID, and we're still making plans to, but when we advertise on TV, when we get billboards, when we advertise on social media, all of that is great. It's very costly. It's very expensive. But if we can get anybody to church because of that, it's worth it. However, after all of the technology that has been invented, you know that still the best way to get people to church is? Me talking. To the car hop at Sonic, to the cashier at Valero, to people I'm doing business with, to people that I want to run across in the city. And I'm here to tell you that there is no greater thing than your testimony. The Bible says that we are a living epistle. We are seen and read of all people, that my life is a book. We love to quote the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there's a book of Brandon that's just as valuable to our world. There's a book called your life that you need to testify of the goodness, because when you testify of what God has done, you raise the level of expectation. This is what I love about sharing a testimony. Anytime that I share my testimony, not only do I build your faith, I build my faith, because I'm reminded of what God did. And when I'm reminded of what God did, suddenly what's in front of me doesn't scare me, because I know what God did behind me to get me where I am today. Overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Expectation. Pastor Rod Parsley made this phrase popular. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracle. When you start expecting and you have faith, it's the breeding ground for miracles. I'll take it one step further. Expectation is the birthplace for breakthrough. No one has ever had a breakthrough on accident. Ever. A breakthrough is concentrated faith. Concentrating on the word of God, concentrated worship, concentrated praise, concentrated service. Expectation is the birthplace for breakthrough. Going on to verse 41, then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house. He literally ran up. We're talking about a dignified man of the cloth, a synagogue leader, came and fell at the feet of Jesus, and he was pleading. This is what we call desperation. Desperation is always looked at in a negative manner, because a lot of times we tie desperation with relationships. The only reason she's going out with him is she's desperate. Desperation will cause you and me to do things that we normally would not do, good or bad. Some of us, let me change that pronouns, pal. Some of you are in relationships not because you like them, but you're desperate. And you don't like being alone. So you would rather tie yourself to a loser than be alone. Let me tell you something. I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million more. There is far worse things than being by yourself. Being hooked up with the wrong person. It cost Abraham half of the covenant for most of his life. It will cost. There's some places God can't take you if you're going to be connected with her. There are some places God can't elevate you to if you're going to stay stuck with him. There's far worse things than being by yourself. And if my Bible reminds me every time God was about to promote somebody, he made them isolated and put them by themselves. Could it be that you are robbing yourself of the greatest promotion of your life, all because you were desperate and you chose to be in a relationship because you're so desperate to have somebody close? However, desperation, when it is funneled the right way, will cause you to do things that you normally would not do in the good sense. Meaning that if you get desperate enough, you'll worship like you've never worshiped before. If you get desperate enough, you'll build a real prayer life where it's not praying to Jesus like he's Santa Claus, but you are literally talking to the creator of this world and the savior of your soul. Desperation will make you come to church when everybody else is saying, I don't think I'd go down to that church, man. They hug everybody and they're, listen, if you want to hug me, you can hug me. If you want to wear a mask and gloves till the day Jesus comes back, that's fine. But I'm glad you're in the house. The fact that all the fear is being propagated on TV and you put on your Sunday best to come to church, what does that mean? I'm desperate for communion with God. I'm desperate for building faith with other believers. I am desperate. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm desperate. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Expectation plus desperation equals breakthrough every time. Expectation plus desperation equals breakthrough every time. Some people die at the doorstep of breakthrough because they never became desperate. Sometimes knocking on the door is not going to get anybody's attention. Sometimes you got to beat on that door. And if there's something behind you, sometimes you got to break down the door. And desperation will cause you to break down the door. Desperation will cause you to not take no for an answer. Desperation will cause you to pray a little harder. Desperation will roll you out of bed at 2:30 in the morning to talk to God. Come on. Desperation will cause you to come to church and lift your hands when you don't feel like lifting your hands. Desperation will cause you to stick with him for them and make sure that your marriage is number one in your life and make sure that you're looking at everything around you and the children and weigh every decision. Desperation will keep you where God has called you to be, but there's a lot of people who die on the doorstep of breakthrough because they never got desperate. Are you desperate enough to do whatever it takes to get your breakthrough? Jairus said, this might cost me my job at the synagogue. This might cost me my title and my position, but there is some greater things in my life than title and position. And my 12-year-old daughter is lying on death's door. And so I don't care if it costs me my friends. I don't care if it costs me my job. I've got to get to this man called Jesus because I've heard of what he's done. And because I heard of what he's done, I know what he's capable of doing. And I'm not leaving his presence. I'm not letting go of him until he comes to my house and raises my daughter. I like this one. Write this down if you're taking notes. Desperation separates those that break down from those that break through. You can break down or you can break through, but you can't do both. And I'm here to encourage somebody that is breaking down. When I say break down, I'm talking about a nervous breakdown, psychological breakdown, spiritual breakdown. The moment you're about to break down is the very moment you're about to break through. And the devil comes against you with everything that he has because he knows if you break through, he's lost his hold on you at this level in your life. And when you level up with more anointing. You level up with more faith. And if he can't get you when your faith is injured, and he can't get you when worry is around, if he can't get you now and you can get through his grasp and you can break through before you break down, he knows it's going to take all of hell and catch you on a bad day to make you slip up. Can I encourage somebody today? You've been crying this year and you've been shedding tears and you've been talking to God and it seems like nobody is listening and it seems like nobody cares and somebody from the church hadn't called you enough and your friends have turned their back on you and it seems like you're all by yourself and you think I'm about to break down. Can I tell you, you're not about to break down, you're about to break through. You need to get ready. You need to get whatever faith you have. Well, pastor, I don't have enough faith. If you have any faith, you have enough faith, because mustard seed faith moves mountains. If you've got enough faith to get you saved, then you got enough faith to get you through. Don't break down, break through. I thought about it. I've been just in my mind bouncing these words around. Breakthrough, breakdown, and then I thought of breakup. I think of breakup in two ways. The Bible calls us to break up the fallow ground. And see, some of us don't want to put the work in on this side of the breakthrough to break up the hard places so that the seed that God has given us, come on now, God has given you seed. If you've got the seed today, he doesn't want you to sow it next year. If God gives you seed today, he wants you to sow it today. But some of us can't sow it today because the ground is not right. You might be in the right place, but you're going to have to break up the hardened ground of your life so that you can plant that thing. Why? Because there's something that is going to come out of that seed that is going to give you enough to break through. So that's the first thing I think of when I hear breakup. Then I hear in my mind, when you ask a friend, hey, are you still dating so-and-so? And they say, nah, we broke up. Very rarely, Sister Gloria, do they ever say it with excitement. It's never like, oh, you didn't hear we broke up, man. They say, nah, we broke up. Why do we say it with such sorrow? If it was God ordained, you wouldn't have broken up. You would have broke through. But when it's not God ordained, you break up. I don't know about you, but I'd rather break up than break down. Meaning this, that the moment you broke up with them, you leveled up. The moment that you cut them loose, I broke up. Now, let me just talk not about dating scenarios, but can I tell you that you need to break up with pornography? You need to break up with gossip. You need, in my mind, it sounded like you'd be amening right here a lot better. You need to break up with worry. You need to break up with anxiety. You need to break up with fear. You need to break up with negative thoughts. You need to break up with those things that are not enough. Every time you break up, you level up. Every time you break up, you are shaking off something that has tried to hold you down. If it's God ordained, you can't let them go. But when you cut them loose, you are going to float to the level that God has called you to. If you can't break through, at least break up, because your breakup will get you to your breakthrough. I've said it many times. I probably should quit confessing this. Just by my very nature, I'm a negative person. I've got to fight negativity every day of my life. I got to fight it every day of my life. When I get up, I've got to start talking to God. And I'm like David, seven times a day, I've got to praise God just to keep the faith in me up, just to keep the positive vibes flowing. Let me talk to somebody today. Until you break through, break up. Because there's a lot of things that you're going to have to divorce yourself from before God can bring you into the new place. Come on, nation of Israel. You wandered around 40 years because you would not break up with Egypt. And even though, come on now. Even though God brought you out of Egypt, you still had their picture in your wallet. You were still nostalgia and talking about the good old days when God said, I can't take you to a new place until you break up with the old place. And when you break up with the old place, you're going to break through to the new place. Somebody say break up to break through. Break up to break through. You can break down. You can break through. But you can't do both. This story takes a turn in verse 4. Because his only daughter, a girl about 12 years old, was dying. Jesus was on his way. The crowds almost crushed him. That's the NIV. You know what I love about Jesus? There's a lot of things I love about him. But Jesus, in my mind, Jesus was no wuss. This was no wimp. I'll just tell you, he didn't have an English accent with blonde hair and blue eyes like they portray on TV. He was a man, but I love because Jesus just did things that only Jesus could do and get away with. He was a savage before there was ever a savage. He was a boss before anyone else was calling. This man falls at his feet. I need you to come heal my daughter. Jesus doesn't say a word to him. Jesus doesn't ask for directions to his house. Jesus just starts walking. You know why? He's all man. but he's all God. Can I just tell you that it blesses me that Jesus didn't have to ask Jairus for directions, but he knew where Jairus lived? Can I help somebody today? Jesus knows where you are. Jesus knows where you live. He's not having to ask you for directions of where you are. Why? Because he sits high, but he looks low. He knows right where you are. He knows how depressed you are. He knows the feelings that you're dealing with your family. He knows the inner struggle and turmoil that you're going through. And this man breaks down, and he comes to Jesus, and he said, I need you to show up at my house. Jesus just starts walking to the man's house. The Bible says that the crowd almost crushed him because they're following. He's silent and doesn't say a word. I love this. Don't let Jesus' silence derail your faith. Jesus' silence does not mean that he is absent. Never mistake God's silence for his absence. Because at the end of the day, how many of you have ever gone through hell, just gone through something tough? How many of you had a friend that just talked to you about it all the time? And you didn't really need to talk. There's been times in my life I didn't need Mandy to say anything. I just needed her to be there. And sometimes we get aggravated, frustrated, because Jesus isn't talking. It's not because he's not there. It's not because he doesn't have anything to say. He's on his way to do exactly what you want him to do. And sometimes I don't need him to say anything. I got 66 books of what he said. Sometimes, Sister Tammy, I just need to know he's there. I know he's there with me, that I'm walking stride for stride. Jesus, I don't need you to say a word, because you know you're walking down the street to my house, so you must know where you're going, and I'm just going to walk with you. And when we get there, he didn't have to ask for the address. Jesus just starts walking. The moment that you become desperate, the moment that we become full of expectation, we call out to Jesus. Jesus starts moving. Pastor, I called out to Jesus in April, and I don't think he said anything back. It's okay. Go read what he's already written to you. Then rest in faith that he's on his way, that he knows where you are, and he knows what you're going through. Stand on your feet, church. Oh, it's going to get good next week. We're going to end with a big crescendo. It's going to be great. He's walking to the house. He's going through it. He didn't need anyone to say something. He needed somebody to be something, to be there. In verse 43, and I'll end with this just so you can get some direction for next week. While Jesus is walking, a woman with an issue of blood, she reaches out and she grabs the hem of Jesus' garment. She literally pressed pause on Jairus' breakthrough. And she said, I need a breakthrough. And I leave you with this. How do you act when someone else gets their breakthrough? And they seemingly cut in line in front of you to get their touch. What does your heart say? What does your spirit say? What does your mouth say? Because those things determine whether you'll get your breakthrough. Because Jairus could have said, forget this, and he could have left. But Jairus knew, this is the only man that can do what I need him to do. I want to talk to those of you that in this altar, in just a few moments, you're going to come to this altar. But I want to talk to those of you in your seats today that are in the middle of fighting for breakthrough. And possibilities are all around. The feeling of quit is there, the waiting game. That antagonist, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. You know Jesus. You know he loves you, but he seems so far away in this moment. Pastor, I've got the word. I've got faith. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got the want to, and I'm building momentum, but still seems like I'm on the wrong side. I'm talking to you today. Don't break down. Breakthrough. But if you're on the verge of breaking down, you've tuned in today at the right time, you're in the right house, And this is not an admission of guilt, and I always say that. Because I don't want anybody to stay there and not come here because you're afraid of what other people think. We'll get into it next week. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what I think. Do you want your breakthrough or not? Are you going to let pride rob you? Are you desperate enough to say, I'm going to crucify my flesh. I'm going to walk down to the front. I'm going to put my hands in the air, and I'm going to say, Jesus, you're the only one that can break me through to where you've called me to be. If I'm talking to you, I need you to get out of your seat. I need you to bolt.